Welcome back to That 70s Card Show. I'm your host, John Keating, and I thank you for joining me as I take a look back at the cards and the culture of the very colorful 1970s. We'll revisit a more simple time in our hobby by taking a deep dive into the sets and the stats with a generous amount of dad facts sprinkled in. That 70s Card Show is currently sponsored by Nobody. If you have a comment or suggestion, I urge you to drop me a line at that70scardshow@gmail.com, that70scardshow on Facebook, or 70scard on Twitter, all spelled out. This week's episode, Episode 6, Father's Day. Although I hold my father up as the greatest example of what a father should be to his family, I have never given him the credit he deserves for the influence he's had on my collecting. Joseph Keating was born to a pair of fresh-off-the-boat Irish immigrants. The probable lack of understanding of American sports by his parents, the definite lack of disposable income, and the World War II war rationing during what would have been his peak years of discovery formed the perfect storm of molding my father into a non-collector. Very few of my memories of my father revolve around sports. There was a time he coached my two brothers in Little League, with me moving from bat boy to making my debut in right field when half the team didn't show up due to a tornado warning. He would shag balls to us at times for what must have been an excruciating amount of time following a full day's work. There was also the one or two times he took me to see the Eagles play at Veterans Stadium, one against the Bart Starr-led Green Bay Packers. He was the coach, not the QB. Score: Packers 3, Eagles 0. My father seemed to disappear from my day-to-day life as his obligations at work grew more cumbersome. He was an accountant who had an important role in one of the nation's largest school districts, kept the books for several businesses on the side, and prepared the tax returns for associates, family members, and members, many of his childhood friends. My father's goal was to ensure his family was raised in a better environment than he was. One of my father's clients had season tickets to the Phillies in the 1970s. My mother, two brothers, and myself would often take the train into the city, stop by my father's office to pick up the tickets, and ride the subway beneath Broad Street to the vet. Two seats on the first base side, two seats on the third base side. Always my mom and me behind the Phillies dugout, and my brothers behind the visitors dugout. I was 53 years old when I realized my brothers had the much better deal as they could see into the Phillies dugout and were within 50 feet of Michael Jack Schmidt. Going to these games was the biggest catalyst for my collecting passion. I was able to attend the 1976 All-Star Game in Philly, as well as Game 1 of the 1980 World Series, even though Bob Walk was the starting pitcher. Although my father was never at games, it was his sacrifice that put us there and fueled the passion my brothers and I would have for our hometown teams. As my brothers grew older and their interests move away towards other endeavors, I was the fortunate recipient of more quality time with my father. A trip to Yankee Stadium in 1981 to see my beloved Carly Yastrzemski was second only to a pilgrimage to Fenway Park, the greenest place on earth, in 1982. For a kid having grown up watching games in the Dayglo Veterans Stadium, this was truly me landing in Oz. And speaking of the greatest player to ever come out of Southampton, Long Island, as a 12-year-old, I begged my father to let us buy a number 148 1960 Topps Carl Yastrzemski rookie card. I figured him and I could pool our resources. I didn't have any money, and $25 in 1980 still went a long way. My father made me the deal of a lifetime. I could pay him off $1 a month for 25 months, and I would become the outright owner. Deal. I established my credit with on-time payments that lasted a solid string of 3 months. I'm not sure what put me into default, possibly the appearance of Fleer and Dunruss onto the scene to siphon off more of my hard-earned cash. Regardless, my father, to his credit, never called in the goons or reported me to Equifax. My father passed away a handful of years later, in 1985. I had always given my mother much of the credit for enabling my collecting. She took me to the candy store to buy cards after a tough day at the orthodontist's, or as an incentive to stop biting my nails. She was the one who took me to the snack bar after I hit a heavily wind and solar flare-aided home run at Audubon Recreation Association. However, it was my father who made it all possible. His sacrifices and time away from his family enabled us to pursue our passions to their fullest. As a father myself, I've admittedly spent too much time away from my family. I never got to pick my father's brain or compare notes with him on fatherhood strategies. I've always had the goals he set for himself, to provide for my family and give them a better life than I had growing up. I could tell you that that legacy my father left was not an easy one to surpass. I tried to get my sons into collecting, but I guess ripping a box of 1988 Dunruss in 2007 didn't quite ignite the fire in my son's belly as much as I thought it would. My sons were both active in sports. The one with all the energy choosing lacrosse, the calculating, computational one playing baseball. With their playing days behind them and both growing taller than me, I had assumed we wouldn't have as much in common as I had hoped. Not too long ago, I was approached by my oldest son. He had started ordering cards from the internet. Breaks, rips, gem mints, these were all things I had never heard of. It seems my son had entered the card game. While I long ago capitulated to the reality that he knew more about sports than I do, I certainly wasn't going to let him think he knew the card game better than I. I spent weeks carefully unwrapping my collection that I had started at the age of 6 or 7 and had continued vigorously up until his birth in 1997. Nearly 100,000 cards logged into the Beckett database in a few weeks, somehow. My goal, the same as it was when I started, to own every card made. My son, a recent business school graduate, scoffs at my quantity over quality flex. His cards are inventory. A constant climb up the ladder to bigger and better cards. I can't explain the thrill of hearing my son run downstairs to show me a card he just got in the mail, or the text message saying he just found a pack at Barnes & Noble. The point here, if you haven't gotten it, is that I finally got the father-son collecting experience I had been looking for my entire life. I'll never know if the father I admired so much growing up ever experienced with his son what I get to now with mine. I do know that none of this would be possible without the seeds he planted within me so long ago. So happy Father's Day to you, Pops. To all the fathers out there, as well as the mothers who pulled double duty, I wish you the same. Thank you for joining me this week in my journeys back in time. If you have a comment or suggestion, perhaps you have a set from the 1970s you'd like to hear more about, reach out to me at that70scardshow@gmail.com, that70scardshow on Facebook, or 70scard on Twitter. Please enjoy the music of Mango Safari, available on iTunes. Enjoy collecting, and more importantly, enjoy your collection. Thank you.